Like I said, have you noticed that even people who don't believe in the death penalty get it? Even if they don't believe in it, they get it. Oh, it's death threats, you say. Death threats are in the news. Well, we'll get to that later. Greetings to the brightest audience in the nation. I am not Bob Enyart Live, pastor of Denver Bible Church, and popularly known as America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic anti-choice talk show host. I am Doug McBurney, a member of Denver Bible Church, and host of the Weekly Worldview, right at theweeklyworldview.com. Unconstrained by the traditional bounds of the broadcast media, we go worldwide on the World Wide Web to a global audience, as does Bob Enyart Live, blasting out on the 50,000-watt Christian blowtorch of the Rocky Mountain West, AM 670, KLTT, and rebroadcast and archived at KGOV.com for your entertainment and edification every day of the broadcast week. Great to have you with us. We're going to get to the death threats later. Has anyone here in the studio received any death threats today? Because we're... Who? He has? Our loyal and trusty... what is your title around here? The GM has received death threats. Okay. So we have our fair share around here, too. We're hunkering down. I mean, there's basically fear and panic have gripped the nation, but I'm here to calm you down. All right, let's start out. Let's see, what do I want to start with? Okay, let's start with something lighthearted first. By the way, I want to extend my sincere thanks to Grandma Connie for bringing me the lemon and chamomile tea that may preserve the pipes for yet another broadcast. I'm going to take a sip right now. Oh, so good. You can feel the goodness. It's like medication going. Okay, let's start out in New York City from Fox TV there. Here we go. This is, we start with a lighthearted story. 73-year-old Iraida Palmieri has a bullet wound on her forehead. Police arrested 81-year-old Maria Cartagena on charges related to shooting 73-year-old Iraida Palmieri. Yeah, Palmieri is the wife of Latin jazz great Eddie Palmieri, you know, the 9-time Grammy winner. He's a Latin jazz great. Al, does it ring a bell? No? Anyway, the alleged shooter, the 81-year-old Maria Cartagena, the alleged shooter lives directly below the Palmieri's and had apparently complained about noise coming from their apartment. And let me just say that if it indeed it was jazz, then I completely understand. I'm not a big fan of jazz, but I've never shot anyone for playing jazz too loud. I don't understand. This is a 73-year-old and an 81-year-old, and the 81-year-old has shot the 73-year-old, but apparently. She's not a very good shot because Palmieri is recovering nicely. She was grazed by the bullet, which ended up in the back of the elevator. Yes, it's in an elevator. I'm not sure if it was going up or going down. Anyway, this reminds me of a story that I was told as a young man. I was attending counterterrorism school at Camp Hansen, Okinawa, Japan. I was a U.S. Marine, and they were training me how to find and kill the enemy. And it was a lot of fun. Camp Hansen, Okinawa, Japan, circa 1987 or so. Anyway, part of the counterterrorism course involved, becoming more at one with your pistol, your sidearm. And the instructor, he had an overhead projector because we didn't have PowerPoint back in those days. But up on the screen, he put an FBI report. And he read off this report. It was a report of a gunfight between an FBI agent and a criminal. And the gunfight took place inside an elevator. I said it took place inside an elevator. Two men armed with pistols. 19 shots were fired, and no one was injured. And it's the truth. I mean, he showed the report on the big screen. So anyway, just because you have a pistol, I mean, you really need to know how to use it. Because if someone's playing jazz and you're really annoyed, No. Playing jazz is not a capital crime. A crime, perhaps, but not a capital crime. Anyway, let's move on to more lighthearted news. Well, no, we don't have any more lighthearted news. That's it. All the other victims in today's news are either severely wounded or dead. So there is no more lighthearted news. That about does it for lighthearted news. And I'm holding a story here at the bottom of my stack that I do not want to get to. Don't want to get to this story. I'm hoping the other stories will push it over the edge and it'll end up on the cutting room floor, so to speak. Let's move on to Amherst, New York. A 90-year-old man. Wait a minute. I have to do some MAFA 21, right? I have to do that. I have to let people know. MAFA 21 is a documentary regarding the mass murder of black people in America. The systematic mass murder of hundreds of thousands, millions of black people in the United States of America. And it's a documentary about the founders of this systematic mass murder, Margaret Sanger and the eugenicists and Planned Parenthood, and how they have perpetrated the mass slaughter of millions of black people in America during your lifetime and mine on what we assume to be the freest nation on God's green earth. Millions of black people have been murdered. Saturday night at midnight on Channel 53, MAFA 21. Be there. It will shock you. Saturday night at midnight, write it down. MAFA 21 is, I don't know where they came. The name, it eludes me. But, you know, I'm not a marketing genius, you know. So I would have called it Black Genocide Today. You know. Or How to Kill 5 Million Black People and No One Even Talks About It. I would have called it something like that. But it's called MAFA 21. It'll be on Channel 53 at midnight this Saturday. Be sure to tune in. It's preempting Bob Enyart Live. So that's how important it is. All right. Let's move on to the news of the day. No more lighthearted stuff. In Amherst, New York, a 90-year-old man charged with killing his wife of 68 years is due in court today. John Buns was charged with second-degree murder after the body of 89-year-old Virginia Buns was found in the couple's apartment in the Buffalo suburb of Amherst, New York. The killer was briefly hospitalized as well with self-inflicted wounds. What's going on? Grandma and grandpa are like monsters. It's bizarre. What's happening to our culture? It used to be the one thing you could count on was that old people were generally friendly and not criminals. I mean, used to be you could count on that. Generally, am I right, Al? Let's say, Al, when you were 20 years old, when you ran into an 80-year-old person, did you assume that they were probably friendly and not a criminal? What? Had good insurance. Oh, when you ran into him. No, not when you ran into him in your car. Al, I'm talking about when, let's say you bumped into somebody at the store and you didn't knock them over and they were older. Anyway, I've been out gathering signatures for personhood. So I've been walking up to people with a placard that says, sign my pro-life petition. And I was operating on the assumption that when you approach someone who was in their 60s or 70s or 80s, that they would generally be pro-life. And I have found that not to be the case. And I'm assuming that perhaps grandma and grandpa now are representatives of the residue of the 60s generation. The hippies who survived are now a bunch of old liberal geezers who want their prescription drugs and their health care, and they don't care whose money they have to steal to get it. And they also don't seem to have a problem with killing babies. And that's the old folks who look like my grandmother. And it's dispiriting. Let me just say that. I would have to say that the More old people gave me dirty looks with my personhood petition. More old people than young people gave me dirty looks. Anyway, so there you go. The older generation, honor thy father and mother, becomes very difficult when thy father and thy mother and thy grandmother assent to the systematic dehumanization and murder of your generation. It's just sad. And what's even scarier is that if the elderly, if the senior citizens are in that bad a spiritual shape, my goodness, what must my generation be like? I'm part of Generation X, I think. I'm on the cusp. I'm not a boomer, but I'm not an Xer. I'm on the cusp. And what's the next generation called? What do they call them, Will? What are you? He doesn't know. That's probably good. That's probably fine. Will turns 27 when? Tomorrow? He turned 27 on Sunday. 27. Yeah, that was a good year. Yeah. Yeah, you're going to enjoy that. Yep, you're going to like that, Will. All right, now I've gotten off track. Anyway, yeah, if the old people have gone to hell in a handbasket, surely that doesn't bode well for the generations coming up. But fortunately, I have been associated with a number of young people who have decided that they're not going to sit still for things like the systematic murder of black people, the dehumanization and murder of unborn children. They're not going to stand for it anymore. They're not going to lay down and ignore it anymore. And hence, the personhood movement has been born and it marches forward. Where we're waiting to hear from the Secretary of State, we anticipate March 29th. Is he has to make a decision by March 29th as to whether or not 2 million, how many voters are there in Colorado? 2 million, 3 million, a couple million voters. The Secretary of State will have the power to confront several million people on one day with the question of when does life begin? When do we get our human rights? So pray for the Secretary of State in the state of Colorado, because he has a tremendous responsibility and will answer to God for whatever decision he takes. Now, death threats are in the news. So I want to talk about death threats. I want to talk about death threats and the authorities that have the power to make good on their death threats. Because death threats are a serious thing. Can we read a Bible verse? Is that still legal in Colorado? It is. Oh, we have to give the warning first. Warning, warning, warning. Will Robinson, there are Bible verses up ahead for those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity. We know here at Bob and Yart Live that you would like to censor anyone who would ever dare quote a Bible verse in public. So this warning gives you fair notice that raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. Let us go to Genesis. That's the first book of the Bible for those of you who are educated in the public school system or attend a United Methodist Church. That's the first book, Genesis, the second chapter. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat." What a cool command, huh? Isn't that great? I mean, our God is a great God, and he's a gracious God. His first command was, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat." Well, wait a minute. His first command may have been, "Be fruitful and multiply." And that's a great command, too. I mean, what a great God we have. Anyway, shortly after the "be fruitful and multiply," at which point Adam was saying, "Hey, I like this deal," God said, "Of every tree, Adam, you may freely eat." And Adam's looking around going, "What a great deal. I mean, there's a lot of great trees, a lot of great stuff to eat. What a good deal." Then the Lord God said, "But, Adam, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." The first recorded death threat in history is in Genesis, the second chapter. Now, this was a threat that was not an idle threat. It wasn't a trumped-up phony baloney threat to be used for political purposes, like some of the threats that are flying around today. Because we read, thousands of years later, in the book of Romans, Paul tells us that through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. So no idle threat, this original death threat, confirmed, by the way, in the life of every single human being who has dwelt upon the face of the earth since that day. Because every human being who has dwelt upon the face of the earth has indeed died. Or we're going to die, death threat or not. Even if you don't believe in the death penalty, you are going to get it. Even if you don't believe in Jesus, you are going to meet him. So just think about that. Now, another sip of chamomile and lemon tea. Romans in the 5th chapter in the 14th verse, Paul tells us, so death reigned from Adam. Death reigned from Adam right through to Paul. And if we look at the records carefully, we'll see that it reigned for every human being from Paul right up to you and me today, right up to Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid. Death has reigned. Now we move on to Romans in the 5th chapter in the 15th verse, where Paul tells us, but the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. So not only did God have the authority to make the death threat and then to carry through on it, to follow through on it, but he also had the means to give us an escape from the death threat. Now, Jesus Christ and God the Father hold out this offer right now before Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and whatever Democrats are hunkered under their desk today, afraid that bricks are coming through their windows. Because there is a death threat hovering over them. But it's not from the Tea Party. It's not from the Republican Party. It's not from America's Independent Party. It's not from the Green Party. But it's from the creator of the universe who promised that if you rebel against me, then you shall surely taste of death. But Nancy, Harry, come on out from under your desk because Jesus is offering you a way out of the death threat that you're living under right now. But it's up to you, Nancy. It's up to you, Harry. The choice is yours. And today is the day. God has set before you today life and death. And I would suggest that you choose life so that you and your children may dwell long in the land. So there we go. Evangelizing Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid. How often does that happen on the radio? So somebody needs to send them this tape so that they won't be so scared. There is a way out of the death threat, Nancy. All right. Now, another sip of the chamomile and lemon tea. And I think it's doing the job. The pipes feel much better today. All right. Let's go to Thermal, California. And why, you might ask? Well, a Southern California school teacher has been arrested for allegedly teaching while drunk. That's right. A middle school teacher named Tanya Neff was taken to jail on Tuesday afternoon and booked for investigation of felony child endangerment. The 47-year-old teacher was apparently intoxicated on campus. Apparently intoxicated. Now, a lot of times with a public school educator, it's difficult to tell if they're intoxicated. But I believe there was a blood test or a breath test that did indeed confirm the intoxication of this particular public school apparatchik. The school district superintendent says there was never a threat to this teacher's seventh grade students. Never a threat due to the drunkenness of the teacher. In fact, the teacher may have been drunk enough so that she couldn't perpetrate the wicked evil curricula upon the students for a given period of time. So the students may have actually been safer during the time this teacher was too drunk to teach. I mean, that's just my opinion. I'm positing that as a possible theory. By the way, if you send your children to public school, whether your child's teacher has shown up visibly intoxicated or not, whether or not they have a medical marijuana card in their wallet and or purse, you may want to think about calling Maranatha Christian Center. You can go to maranathachristiancenter.org and find out about a Christian God-centered education for your child. You could think about homeschooling. But if that's a bridge too far for you at this point, and you just want to look into possibly taking your kid out of the education factory that's going to destroy his mind and his life, and you just want to get him into a God-centered education, a Christian education, with fine academics to boot, by the way, go to MaranathaChristianCenter.org or give them a call at 303-431-5653. MaranathaChristianCenter.org, located in Arvada, Colorado. Save your children out of the temple of Sodom. Call Maranatha Christian Center or go to MaranathaChristianCenter.org. All right. So there you go. There's the state of the public schools. We've talked about grandma and grandpa. We've talked about gunfights in an elevator. And we've even evangelized Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid. We've certainly gotten a lot done in one short broadcast. And it's not even over yet, folks. Another sip of tea. I'm looking at my map, by the way. Personhood Colorado is recruiting team leaders to storm the gates of your county here in Colorado. Arapahoe County has already been spoken for. Boulder County, believe it or not, has been spoken for by one brave soul. But there are a number of other counties that are wide open. And Personhood Colorado needs leadership, a leader in these counties, to pass on information about events, to call lists of people from those counties, see if you can recruit volunteers to disseminate information. Maybe go make some presentations at some churches. Storm the gates of hell is what we're trying to do here, one county at a time in Colorado. So if you want to participate, go to personhoodcolorado.com. Tell them that you would like to storm the gates of hell in your county. And you can take the personhood message to a lost and dying world and an increasingly stupid and gullible world. And they need to hear the truth. All right. Now, speaking of gullible and stupid people, let's go to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the city of brotherly love, right? Formerly. Philadelphia officials, according to CBS there, CBS TV in Philly, Philly officials are taking aim on recent flash mobs that have erupted around the city, and Mayor Michael Nutter has reassured city residents that they are safe. So what is a flash mob, I wondered as I read this story. Apparently teenagers and the like, probably 20-somethings, members of our GM Will's generation, they get together on Facebook and MySpace, and they organize what are called a flash mob. And apparently it's centered around raucous behavior and a good bit of shoplifting and perhaps window breaking that they do at these flash mobs. Well, this has been going on in Philadelphia. The mayor has said that rapid response teams are in place to deal with future flash mob incidents. Undercover officers will be in place throughout the city of brotherly love. And the FBI will be assisting the police wherever necessary. The mayor said officers will continue to enforce a citywide curfew for young punks 17 and under. And if necessary, he'll declare an immediate expanded curfew and will possibly make the curfew permanent. Take that. Officials then said in a news conference that parents must take responsibility for their children or they could face charges if their kids participate in such flash mob behavior. It's so interesting of these governing officials. They insist, first, they steal your money through property taxes and give them to the public school factories, and then insist by law, practically, that you hand your children over to these institutions every day. And then when your child turns out to be an animal maniac running through the streets, ripping off their clothes and shoplifting and breaking windows, these same governing officials turn to the parents and say, hey, you had your kids, you raised your kids. Why don't you take care of your kids? And the parents are scratching their heads saying, well, wait a minute, we gave the kids to you. They're really your kids now. And you know, the fact that they're breaking windows in your stores and throwing bricks through your office buildings, well, am I really responsible for that? I mean, I turned the kids over to you to be raised and to be educated. Isn't this just the fruit of our combined labor? Well, let's see here. 10 teens were convicted of taking part in a recent flash mob back in February. Another 18 juveniles were convicted of, participating in an unruly gathering, about 100 back on March 3rd. Well, here's the solution to your problem, you fools. You've got, what, 18? Plus, you've got 28 of these punks right now. You know they were there. Take them out and whip them in front of all their other teenage punk friends. In fact, you could even post it on Facebook and say, hey, show up at the county courthouse at 5 o'clock on Thursday. We're going to whip your friends until their jeans are shredded. We could have our own little flash mob. Hey, you know what I'd like to organize? I'd like to see a flash mob organized, but it would be a massive open Bible study mob, right? Flash mob. You get on. So what we do is we have a bunch of Christians all show up at some public place where we know liberals are gathered, and we all show up with our Bibles, and it's a flash mob. We whip out our Bibles, and we start doing a Bible study, and the liberals would just go insane. So if someone in the younger generation who knows how to use Facebook and all those things, if you want to organize the Christian flash mob, I would even show up, even though I'm a bit long in the tooth for things like that. Be happy to show up and encourage you in your well-doing. All right. So we did it. We managed to do the whole show without me getting to the story that I did not want to get to. And, well, no thanks to you in the audience. No thanks to you, but that's okay. I'm a professional. I'm trained to do this, and I can handle it. All right, Maafa 21, a documentary that will shock you regarding the slaughter of millions of people in our very midst, under our very noses, in the darkness, in the silence. A generation has been murdered. Find out about it. Saturday night at midnight, Channel 53, Maafa 21. Mark the time down. This Saturday night at midnight, Channel 53. Find out about the genocide of our dark-skinned brethren right in our midst. And wake up out of sleep. Now is the time. Today is the day. This is Bob Inyart Live. I'm Doug McBurney. Bob will be back tomorrow.